John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the column Wonderland. And his Wonderland column this week gently guided me to March of 1993, an editorial in the Wall Street Journal entitled No Guardrails. And this editorial asked a very challenging question. Where did it all begin? That an act of violence, political violence, against a physician in this case, the issue was abortion rights or right to life. Where did it begin that that was possible in public, that someone could spontaneously this kill another human being over a gesture of political life? Dan, a very good evening to you. No guardrails. You point to August of 1968. That, of course, is the Soviet invasion of Eastern Europe, famous. That, of course, also is the rioting in Paris against De Gaulle. But you point to an event in Chicago. What happened in Chicago on American television that suggests that we lost control at that moment? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, to try to put this in context, and it is a very big historical context. I mean, I wrote this week in my column about the phenomenon of violence in America. Not merely the violence of George Floyd, but the violence taking place in the inner cities, murder rates rising, the fact that political protests this past summer, often after George Floyd, often in hundreds of cities descended into violence and looting. And then you've had the succession of individual random shooters seemingly coming one after another. And, you know, I had to figure out a little bit what's going on. And that it is true that back in 1993, I did write what has become this very famous Wall Street Journal editorial called No Guardrails. And that was the metaphor that cars, you know, we live in an open, free society. And it's like cars going along a turnpike or a highway. We drive 60 or 70 miles an hour. Most people are able to keep themselves under control. But when a car goes out of control, it hits the guardrail. We protect people. Well, the idea was that you live in a society which is open and free. People, by and large, are allowed to live their lives as they want. But at the margins, there are people who are unable to control themselves. And those people go over the side, or at least so I wrote back in 1993. Well, fast forward to now, and we seem to be in a kind of epidemic of people who just don't recognize guardrails anymore, or because society has taken them down. There seem to be no boundaries, no limits, no demarcation lines of personal behavior or indeed political behavior. Why would you protest as people did last summer and suddenly decide that we could start smashing stores along the way? And then you have the situation with the Democratic National Convention last July, in which not a single person addressed the damage and violence that occurred during those protests. You know, in a normal time, John, some adult would have stood up, say, at the convention and said, well, we understand the emotions behind all this, but it is absolutely wrong to engage in that kind of behavior. But increasingly in public life and private life, people won't say that anymore. They will not draw a line against behavior. There are no breaks on personal behavior. And so I think in the years since I wrote No Guardrails, they have been taken down once again, and we're seeing even more damage than we did in the 1990s, or indeed beginning back in the 1960s, as you were describing.
1968, our youth, Dan. 1968, we saw on television afterwards. We didn't have the internet. We certainly didn't have YouTube. So we saw it once, and maybe we saw it again in movies. There was violence in Chicago, political violence. I recall it being celebrated at the time. Maybe I recall indistinctly, but being celebrated not only by the people who were there. They were protesting the war. They were, and this was where Hubert Humphrey was nominated by the Democrats, not an anti-war candidate. But you write correctly in this, and I recall now, the violence was celebrated by the intellectual thought leaders of the United States and the world. It was seen as legitimate. In other words, there were no guardrails and they were celebrating it.
Yeah, that's right. And the 60s and the violence then, the demonstrations, you know, the sit-ins in universities, in university presidents' offices, the rise of what was then called the non-negotiable demand. It began then, but it kind of ebbed and flowed. Things quieted down. You know, we went through 8 years of the Reagan presidency, the Clinton presidency even, and Jimmy Carter's presidency. In both cases, after the reaction to the so-called San Francisco Democrats, which was famously the people who supposedly condoned this kind of behavior, the Democrats got smart and nominated moderate senators from the South, Jimmy Carter from Georgia, Bill Clinton from Arkansas. And so we went through a period of relative calm, but now it seems to be all coming back, that impulse. And I think today, John, it's maybe more dangerous than it was back then, because I believe there's a kind of sense growing, even a belief growing on the American left, indeed the Democratic left, that this kind of behavior works as a political strategy, which is to say they don't negotiate with anyone. They don't negotiate under legislation that's being put in Congress. They don't negotiate over systemic racism on the streets. And I believe they think the system can be intimidated. It can be bullied. It can be forced to submit to their demands. So there is no sense of moderation whatsoever. What I tried to argue in my column this week is that we're paying a very high personal price for this kind of ethos as more and more people just decide to go over the side and engage in any sort of violent or indeed self-destructive behavior, or in the inner cities, behavior that clearly destroys the people who are living in your own neighborhood. Like the high homicide rate in Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. It's not a good situation.
The leadership in the country right now is dominated by the Democrats, and it's accurate to say I do not hear a voice of no coming from the Democrats, certainly not from the president, who has used metaphors that suggest he supports the protests and the no guardrails thinking that's going on.
Well, his spokesman, of course, Jen Psaki, in the wake of the shooting by the police of the 16-year-old in Columbus, Ohio, was lunging at two people with a knife, calling her a child and suggesting this was another example of police brutality. I think people out in the country watching it just must be dizzy from these kinds of expressions out of the White House. You know, the day Derek Chauvin was sentenced in Minneapolis, they found a teenager dead, murdered in a house in Minneapolis the same day, the 21st such murder in Minneapolis this year. And clearly, possibly one, maybe even two young women in Columbus would be dead today if that 16-year-old had been able to plunge her knife into either one of them. The police stopped that from happening. So when you have the office of the presidency calling this a violation by the police, I think people just shake their heads. And I frankly, John, I think this narrative of the left, which is being expressed from the White House on downward, is really reaching the point of diminishing returns. It's simply not becoming credible.
Daniel Henniger writes the Wonderland column for the Wall Street Journal. He's the deputy editor of the editorial page. He also links in his Wonderland column back to that 1993 column entitled No Guardrails. We've been here before, and we've solved it before. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.